Verse 6, in the ninth year of Hoshea, the king of Assyria, he captured Samaria, deported the Israelites to Assyria, settled them in other towns. All this took place because the Israelites had sinned. And you read the chapter later, do your own homework. In the 33rd verse, it says, they worship Yahweh, but they also serve their own gods in accordance with the customs of the nations which they had been brought. In 1741, 2 Kings 1741 says, even while these people were worshiping the Lord, they were serving their idols. To this day, their children and grandchildren continue to do as their fathers did. Very simply, Samaritans had been repopulated with other pagan groups, and they had some knowledge of Yahweh, but they also had knowledge of idolatry. So they ended up being a superstitious group. And to put it in a very crude term, they were, the term you don't use and it shouldn't use, but they were half-breeds. They were part Jewish and they were part pagan. And the Jews, who were very prideful of their spiritual purity, despised the Samaritans. So read for your homework 2 Kings 17 and you'll understand the whole thing. So Jesus was purposely telling them a parable about a Samaritan who was kinder than a priest and kinder than a Levite. So then he says to the lawyer, he says, which guy was nice? And the lawyer didn't use the word Samaritan. He just said, the one who had mercy. The lawyer couldn't bring himself to say Samaritan. He said, the one who had mercy. Go and do likewise. What does that mean for us, folks? What does this mean for us? It means the person that we are to help is the person we meet on the road. Very simple. If you're not saved by good deeds, you're saved by faith. But if you come across someone that needs help, materially or otherwise, that's your neighbor. Your neighbor is the one who needs help. And it will happen to you. It will happen to you. I take a walk every morning, and recently one of my neighbors said, hey, you go to lunch with me? He knows I'm a preacher. And so we went to lunch, and he had all these questions. And he's a trial lawyer. I haven't gotten there yet with him. You can pray for him. I'm going to meet with him again. His name's Tim. But you will get opportunities along the road to share the love of Jesus. Look for them. Now we're going to do the final story, guys. And this is my favorite. The whole Bible lesson, this is my favorite story. Because you'll notice how did I title this on your bulletin? Sitting at Jesus' feet. Anybody notice that? Because that's my favorite story. And notice the quote that's up there. Prayer is the gymnasium of the soul. You like that? Everybody goes to the gym. They work out. Prayer is the gymnasium of the soul. The Bible says physical exercise profiteth some, spiritual exercise eternal reward. Let's read this last story. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you're worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will be not be taken from her. Okay, Jesus had friends in this life. He would regularly visit on more than one occasion Mary and Martha and her brother Lazarus. They were friends. They lived in Bethany. Bethany is on the east side of the Mount of Olives, and it's 2 miles from Jerusalem. I've been there. It's in Jerusalem. You just kind of walk across this Kidron Valley. You're at Mount of Olives, go down the other side, and you're in Bethany. And Jesus was at their house for dinner. He was probably there with his disciples. I don't know. But he was there for dinner. And Martha was in the kitchen. And by the way, somebody has to cook, right? Okay. And Martha was doing her thing. And Mary was over there sitting down at Jesus' feet, listening to him teach. Just sitting there, listening. And Martha finally got upset. She was working hard. She said, Lord, don't you care that my sister's not even helping me? I've got all this work to do. And he calmed her down. He said, Martha, You're worried and upset about many things. Only one thing is needed. Mary's chosen the better. First of all, sometimes we make about 10 different dishes to set on the table, and that's really, it could have been, she just would have been simpler to make one thing, you know. If you read other scriptures about Martha, she loves the Lord very much. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who dies." So Martha came off well. But in this moment, Martha was distracted. Mary was listening at Jesus' feet. I think there is a very clear lesson for us, and that is that we need quiet time. We need to be able to sit still at Jesus' feet and listen to him. We're so busy in America going, you know, we get up, go to work, got to run. And I'm distractible, you know, I very much so. Okay, what's on sports? Or what could I cook in the kitchen? Or what could I do in the garden? What about those weeds? I got to get my weeds. Or what about this? We all have busy schedules, and some of them, I'm semi-retired as your pastor. I can be distracted a lot. But how important is it for all of us to make time to sit at the feet of Jesus? And it is a discipline that I would urge you to build into your life. You've heard me say before, morning time, Bible, coffee, notebook. You can have tea instead if you want. But in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus and coffee. And for me, I love the early morning light, flip on the light, sit there with a cup of coffee, and I'm sleepy just like everybody else. But I begin to copy some scriptures, and pretty soon I'm in a place of communication with God, and he has my attention. And it's not easy. The walk of faith is not easy. I don't get a glow in my living room. Ooh. I mean, I could sometimes. But the Lord is there, and I've known Christ these 42 years now, and you just walk by faith. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. And as you stay in the word, you're built up, you're equipped. So whether you're in the mood or not, just stay in scripture, church. Read your Bible, church. I urge you. And then when your Bible's open, your notebook's sitting there, you go, "What should I do today, God?" Maybe just write something down. You got a decision you need to make? Bible open, coffee, and Lord, I pray for this. Maybe you won't hear it. Maybe it'll take 2 more weeks of praying, but you will hear it. This is called a personal relationship. Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice." And I am convinced that whether I make decisions to go to Safeway or not are guided by him. It's on my heart, because that's the thing that I have a peace to do. That would be the. And I love to have the Lord help me on errands during the day, because he gives us, the Holy Spirit gives us efficiency. That's even in the Amplified Bible. So guys, keep your time up with Jesus. Summary. Make sure your name is in the book of life. He's given you power to stamp over the scorpions. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Look for that Samaritan on your road. Look for that person on the road, rather. Be the Samaritan and help that person that you encounter. The kingdom of God is about kindness. Kindness is very important to God. Matthew 25, the sheep and the goats. "I was hungry and you fed me. I was naked and you clothed me. Enter into the joy of the Lord. I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was in prison, you didn't visit me." Kindness matters. The fruit of our faith should be expressed in helping the wounded guy on the road. Let's pray. Father in heaven, what a great chapter. How we love your word, Lord. How we look forward to the next chapter. Because your word is truth, Lord. All scripture is God-breathed and profitable. And so we thank you for the profit that we receive for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, that the man of God would be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Thank you for how your word equips us, Lord. We have the spiritual understanding to know that this is a fallen planet, that the people we love and care for are being deceived by Satan. The God of this age has blinded them, and we pray, Lord, in Jesus' name, until you come, that you save more. Lord, we pray for this fallen world, that we could be salt and light, that we could preach the gospel with boldness. So, Lord, help us to be fruitful, to bear fruit for your glory. And we thank you, Lord, that you have revealed yourself to us. Lord God, I pray for all of us that we would daily make time to sit at your feet and stay in your word. Father, I pray your blessing upon all the men and women of CIF here today and those missing also. And so, Lord, we thank you and love you. In Jesus' name, amen.